Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So earlier when we were praying together in pre-service prayer, I saw a couple of pictures, but I want to share one with you, and I feel like it's not just for one person, it's for everyone, about what the Lord wants to do in their life. And what I saw was just this beautiful beach. And in the water, there was so much algae that no one could swim. And what I felt like in the moment and what was happening in the prayer room was a person was laying down an entire season of their life before the Lord. And when they did that, the algae just moved out to sea. And the beach could be enjoyed not just by them, but by others. And I feel like in this season, for each of us, there's a greater level of authority we can walk in. The Lord wants to bring about a greater sphere of people who encounter Him through us. But unless we surrender every place to Him, other people and ourselves can't truly enjoy it in its fullness. So I just want to give you an opportunity before we close worship, just between you and the Lord. It doesn't have to be loud for others to hear, but I feel like maybe out loud, just give Him everything. Say, I'm not holding back anything. Nothing is off limits for you, Lord. To listen to you in this season. I'm willing to lay down anything that will hold me back from what you have. I give it all to you, Lord. So just take a moment. Could enjoy it too. We lay down everything at your feet, including our offenses, including our disappointments, and including our victories. It's all there for you. Do what you want with each of us. We thank you, Father. You're so good to us. So Lord, we pray that as we go from this place, you would move mightily in each life here. That you would cause us to be a community of people that pull the good things you put in us out of each other, to create spaces for each of us to grow and thrive, and truly has an impact, not based on what we're able to do, but what you're able to do through us. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we go into anything, I want everyone to just stay where they're at and just enjoy the washing over. If you feel joy, then let it out. If you feel refreshing, then let it out. If you feel repentance, then let it out.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. His power and glory. You deserve it.
Hi, guys. Well, I love worship, but what I really loved about today...
Can I fit a word in here that I felt? It's just about confirming everything that Matt has said. The Lord says, somebody over here, and I think he means everybody, because that's just how it comes out. They're crying, they're saying to the Lord, when are we going to see these answers, Lord, in their own lives? And the Lord is saying, today is a day of salvation.
Amen.
He said you're going to start seeing things in your lives that you've been praying for. And a lot of it is family. Mm-hmm. And it just went along with what Matt was saying and everything that he did.
Well, yeah. I confirm that because I felt the same thing. Both at home and here.
Yeah, we're seeing improvement in our home.
There isn't a day or a moment in my day that I don't talk to the Lord. And he's starting to bring back more and more songs. There was a period of time where I felt like, you know, where's the songs? He used to give me one I'd wake up with, or he'd give me one before I go to work, or I'd be getting out of the car at work and he'd give me one. Well, this Thursday and Friday, the song came, had to do with joy, Spring Up, Oh Well, within my soul. And I've got joy like a fountain. And so I just kept singing it and singing it, because when I get to work, I'm just so thankful for worship and songs that the Lord gives. And I know with everyone, it's different what God gives you, but in a nugget, as Dave would say, in a nugget of truth, worship today brought all that together. There were so many different parts of worship that brought together my whole week, so I hope it brought together your day.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to switch back and forth here so she doesn't get to talk the whole time. Thanks, Matt, for sharing, wherever Matt's at, what had conspired. And, you know, we all, those that can get here early enough and have made it a commitment to, end up going into the prayer room before the service, specifically, if I understand this correctly, to pray for this service and whoever shows up. So it was really cool to hear what Matt had to say on that revelation of the water and the overgrowth, and just only takes one person to lay his, it could be the whole church, just go and Lord everything and have all that overgrowth just go, leaving fresh water for all to enjoy. Or just one person who's been struggling for a while on maybe laying his whole life down, or maybe just one or two items that are really holding him back. But it was a nice revelation. It was good to hear. And thanks for those that do make it a commitment and have the time to do it. I think it's really important. I think we all think it's really important. I'll pray. We thank you, Father, for the way you provide for us. This offering is just a giving back to you, recognizing that you are our provider. We ask that you would multiply it, do with it as you will, put it right back into the community, Lord, in reaching souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this week, I'm letting you guys in a little bit of where I'm at, where my heart is, and it's kind of something that I've just started studying. I've never really delved too much into. So I'm just asking for a little bit of grace today. Hear my heart. You know, most of you know me enough by now. You know, it's really my belief that it's the goodness of God that brings people to Him, to His repentance, and into His heart. And I believe that, you know, if there's no guilt, shame, condemnation in the heart of God, there's none of that here either. So, I'm hoping that the word comes out well enough that it doesn't create anything like that. So, this week's been a little bit rough last night, a little bit this morning with where the Lord had me. Just a lot of inward reflection on some things. With what we're talking about here today, and it was just kind of funny because last week Pastor Matt made a comment, and he said that he wasn't going to prophesy judgment. And it's like, good, he left it for me for next week. So it's a little bit of where I'm at right now with some scriptures, and we'll get into that. But my experience, with the churches that I've been to. Judgment hasn't really been one of those things that was preached on. But it's one of those things that when it had been preached on, brought that guilt, shame kind of stuff as a motivation to want to know, to want to know God. And I'm not sure that's so much, the correct route to go with that. And I don't think that the judgment isn't a bad thing. But when we hear that word judgment, we're always thinking of, like a criminal being convicted of a crime and sent to prison. And, when I read the Bible, I feel like that's more of a worldly view. In John 16, 7 through 11, it says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need of a Savior, and about righteousness and about judgment, about sin and the true nature of it, because they did not believe in me and my message, about righteousness, personal integrity, and godly character, because I am going to my Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, the certainty of it, because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and condemned." So guess what? All that stuff's true. And in John 17, 13 and 14, it says, "But now I am coming to you, and I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may experience my joy, made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. Have given to them your word, the message you gave me, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it." That judgment, that sin judgment, we're no longer under that. We're no longer part of this world. We're part of the heavenly realm. We're seated in heavenly places. That's with Christ. Right. So we don't have to have a worldly perspective of judgment. And that sin judgment, thankfully, isn't what I'm going to preach on today, because it would be a pretty short message. So, judgment, that tends to stir up some feelings. starts to bring this thing together, you know, and you know that guilt, shame, condemnation when you hear that word. This has been on my heart for months, and when I felt like I was supposed to release it, I was told not to. There was, you know, just a lot going on. It's that patience. It's that, you know, waiting on the Lord to tell you to do certain things. And he gave me some other messages to preach. And, you know, now I'm here. So the Lord just kind of said that we have been mistaking guilt for conviction.
Yes.
You know, that judgment is a very heavy topic. But it's also something that's very necessary for us to talk about. And, you know, it's like conversations with our kids, right? You know, what about the talk, you know? Like the birds and the bees. Some of us have been there. Some of us have not yet been there. It's awesome, right? But it's something necessary to talk about. You know, we would be doing our children a very huge disservice to teach them about healthy finances and not teach them about healthy relationships. You know, so just because something is uncomfortable or may bring some kind of negative feelings, it should never be avoided. So, you know, as Christians, we just can't mistake guilt for conviction. So the world's definition for conviction is a formal declaration that someone is guilty of a criminal offense made by the verdict of a jury or the decision of a judge in a court of law and the act of being convicted. Again, kind of sounds a little scary, right? It doesn't bring some positive stuff. But the biblical definition of conviction, we mean that these convictions are beliefs derived from and based on a commitment to Scripture, the Bible, the presence of God, and His truth of His promises. As God's holy word, it is the absolute standard for the whole of our lives and what we believe in our faith. And the biblical conviction is really kind of a product of three things. And the first thing is a commitment to Scripture. The Scriptures, that's our authority. That's our word. That's our truth. Everything that's in it is from the mouth of God. And everything we say and do comes from that foundation of the Word of God. Two, the construction of specific beliefs and convictions based on that authority. And three, the courage to act on those convictions in faith. You know, commitment to His authority, construction of all we believe on that authority, and the courage to act on it. Those are our convictions. You know, conviction is that driving force behind what we believe in, and our faith is the courage to act on it. So I want to jump to Jeremiah 29:11-13. It says, it's one of my favorite scriptures. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope or an expected end. Then you will call on me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, it's in this scripture, we know that the Israelites, you know, it's just a bad place for them right now. But it shows that God has a plan. God's plan is better than what they are dealing with at this particular time. His plans are bigger, and his plans include you and him walking these plans out together. You know, he says, I have created you for so much more. Now let me show you. You know, that kind of stuff has to be our conviction. Knowing that no matter where we are right now, physically or emotionally or, you know, I guess circumstantially, we just know that his plans are still there. So I want to jump to 2 Corinthians 12. I'm not even sure. This is 12 to 18. I'm not sure what verse it is. You know, we're not supposed to live from bummer to bummer. We're supposed to live from glory to glory. It says, therefore, having such a hope, right, our conviction, we use great boldness in our speech. And we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not stare at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image, from glory to glory, just as the Lord is the Spirit. So I haven't really touched much on judgment, but the world's definition of judgment is the ability to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions, a decision of a court or a judge. I'm not so sure the world's view of sensible quite lines up with ours either. But again, you know, that word judgment is kind of directed towards a court of law. But biblical judgment is simply God's decisions. And those decisions are rooted in his truth and in his righteousness. So the scripture that I've been on for a little bit of time now is 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore, whether we are at home or away from home, it is our constant ambition to be pleasing to him. For we, believers, will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord and understand the importance of obedience and worship, we persuade people to be reconciled to him. But we are plainly known to God. He knows everything about us. And I hope that we are plainly known also in your consciences, your God-given discernment. You know, I used 9 through 11 because it shows that the believers are the ones being talked to here. You know, it's a really deep subject. That whole judgment seat of Christ is something very powerful and something very moving. It's pretty deep stuff, so it's something that, you know, I really encourage you guys to study on your own. But, you know, we hear certain scriptures like that saying that we're going to be held responsible. That kind of is where that conviction, guilt, conundrum starts to happen in our hearts. When we hear those types of things, we start to reflect on ourselves inward. You know, how are we living? How are we doing? You know, maybe even starting to compare ourselves to others. I have Psalm 103, verses 10 to 12, says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, as we deserve, nor rewarded us with punishment according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear and worship him with awe-inspired respect and deepest reverence. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. in my own personal studying and my own personal stuff that I go through, I have also had those guilt, conviction type things going on myself, because, you know, when you hear that I'll be, you know, when I hear on my own that I'll be responsible for the life that I live, that sinful stuff automatically tries to come in. But it says he's not dealing with that because that's the world. So we can push that. That's where the guilt comes from. When we start to have those convictions in our heart, that guilt just tries to come in to ruin everything, to ruin the main purpose of what the word is really trying to tell us. And so all that worldly stuff that we need to push away and just deal with how we are in relationship with Christ. You know, it's time for us to get rid of that stuff and refocus on that, on this life. We refocus on the Word of God and His presence and His truth and the authority that He is in our lives. And we also have to understand that once we have, you know, we are able to do that, that it has to be followed by actions. And James says in chapter 2, verse 18, he says that, but someone may say, you claim to have faith and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can, and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do, the life that I live. It's a lot of what I teach, it comes from different readings, different things that I listen to, and I was listening to this one podcast, and some of the things that the teacher was saying just was really, you know, inspiring. It says life is a gift from God, and this gift of life is given to us to fulfill His purpose, not to fulfill our own purposes. You know, and we only have a certain amount of time to do that. And we kind of get stuck in this time. Am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? I can do some of this stuff later on in life. And we kind of get stuck in this rut sometimes. And, you know, the world measures time in, you know, weeks and days and months and years. But God's, you know, well, the world measures life in time, in the weeks and the days. But God measures life and how we live our lives in that time. You know, there's one commodity that every person in the world has. It's the same. It's time. We all have the same 24 hours a day to accomplish whatever we need to. You know, some people have more money than others. Some people have a little more stuff like this than others. You know, some people have more clothes, houses. Not everybody has those same commodities, but everybody has the same amount of time to accomplish His purpose. This teacher said, what we spend that time on is what we become. That right now, we're all here in this season where we are because of how we spent our time. I'm not saying that there's some outside stuff that hasn't happened, but we all had to put some kind of time into overcoming, living our life to be here right in this moment right now. You know, whether those things were good or bad. So, you know, we have a choice. You know, for us to live in the fullness of all that God has created us for, we have to expose the truth, the true potential of our lives. In other words, do you know your purpose? Do you know what it is that God has you and has created you for? I can promise you it's something amazing. In Jeremiah, I'm going to read Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13 again. It says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. He wants us to come to him every second of every day, and he'll keep on revealing the next step of his plans. And in Jeremiah 29:14, it says, I will let myself be found by you, declares the Lord, making him a necessity. He will make himself be found. You know, we need to empty our lives, empty ourselves of this world. And, you know, what he spoke to me is this life is supposed to be a life of being filled and poured out. And being filled and poured out. And this continual being filled and poured out. That's a living from glory to glory. That's a life being filled with whatever God has for us and pouring it out on those around us.
That's
good. Amazing things happen when we live in that kind of a purpose. You know, things may be tough and difficult. That's always going to be part of another plan. I would go to Ecclesiastes 5:19-20. It says, furthermore, as for every person to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also given him the opportunity to enjoy them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God, for he will not often call to mind the years of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. You know, there's joy in our purpose. You know, it's when God calls you, you know, he gives different people different things. But when he calls you, there's always going to be joy. There's always going to be joy in that purpose. You know, everyone and everything in this world is always going to be after your time. Your kids are after your time. Work is after your time. So it's very important how we spend this time. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, there is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight, an event, or purpose under heaven. What that means is we are here for this specific season, for every delight, an event, or purpose under heaven. We've been here, called to be here at this particular time with a purpose. Psalm 57, a lot of scripture. Psalm 57, verse 2 says, I will cry to the God Most High, who accomplishes all things on my behalf, for he completes my purpose in his plan. You have a purpose, and he wants to fulfill that purpose with you, not separate from you. You know, so when we understand what our purpose is, and sometimes it's something that we grow in, he gives us little bits and little bits. But there's no reason to ever be afraid or nervous, because he's already there. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's there in the beginning, and he's already there in the end. So whatever happens in between there, you know it's going to be part of our purpose. And again, you know, we always hear scriptures, and all these scriptures sound wonderful, but how do we apply this? How do we live like this? So I got eight different steps that we can take to help us grow closer to God and walk deeper into our purpose. So step number one is goals. You know, these goals are the things that are on our hearts. Most likely, if it's something that you're very passionate about, it's something that God, it's a desire that God gave you. So you have to have these types of goals. These goals are part of that purpose. Step two is make a plan for these goals. You have to plan your goals. You can have 100 desires in your heart, but if you don't plan them, how are you going to act on them? You know? Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs the steps and establishes them. You know, once your heart and in God's heart are on the same line, the same desires, he'll show you exactly what's the next step. Step number three is commitment. And the core of commitment is patience. It's God's timing. You know, Psalms 46 says, so 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. He's got it. Be diligent in seeking his timing. You know, we can't be like Abraham and Sarah making some decisions on our own to kind of, you know, help God out, fulfill his promise. Step four, create a prayerful habit. Pray often, pray as often as you possibly can. Prayer gives us access to heaven. And God reveals a lot of things through prayer, whether it's directly to us or through others. You know, he'll give someone your answer. But always be open and discernful, you know, that to throw that in there. Step five is a commitment to the Word. As much and as often as you can, get in the Word. Get in his presence. You know, without getting into this space and knowing that you have a plan, all these other steps don't have any meaning to them. Step six, submit all things to God. You know, it's you know what you know and seek the answers to the things that you don't. You know, and again, God might reveal them directly to you, but he also might have someone else that is there in place to give you these answers. Step seven, have a willingness to start small. I preached a lot on Matthew 25. So I'm going to read a little bit. 25 verses 14 to 18 says, For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And the first 2 were giving a fairly large amount of money to be responsible with. When the master left, the master gave them responsibility and then left. And the 2 that were given that multiplied it, that was just a small portion of what they were in charge of when the master came back. Out of their faithfulness, they were entrusted to more. Step 8. Have a heart of a servant, the filling and pouring out, the heart of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't come here for himself. He came here for us. And there are some things that will only be revealed to you by picking up a bowl of water and a rag. To serving, to loving others. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. It doesn't matter where you are in life physically, or you know, your circumstances and your health, where you are mentally, your purpose will always follow you because it belongs to you. You know, Peter and Paul never wanted to go to jail, but they did, and their purpose followed them to wherever they were. You are never without purpose. Do me a favor, tell yourself that. Tell yourself that you're never without purpose. You do that?
Never.
I'll tell your neighbor that. All right, we're awake now. We're awake. I want you to tell yourself that God's got a plan for you, for me. And then tell your neighbor that too. Proverbs 16:1. The plans and reflections of the heart belong to man, but the wise answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Those things that are so deep in your heart, those are the plans. And the wise answer is how the Lord prepares the way for it. And so, I haven't talked about that word judgment for a little while, but you know what I feel is like the things that we're going to be held accountable for is just loving well. And I think we all have the capacity and the ability and the heart to do that. Without planning, your time's going to be used by circumstances instead of purpose. So I just want to I want to encourage everybody on your own time. I was thinking about making up some sheets just to kind of help guide, but I just want to encourage you guys to write down your desires, those things that the Lord has put in your heart, and then seek Him in how He wants to fulfill those things. You know, if you let Him in on it, I mean, He's one that put Him there anyway, you know, to seek Him and to watch what He does and to see what happens. You know, we can do just enough to skate by, but why bother? There's so much more. There's so much more. You know, I just want to encourage you guys to be someone to live to that fullness of your God-given potential and just be convicted with all the things that we believe in to love well. Amen?
Amen.
If you'd like to stand, I'll pray. So, Father, I just thank You. I thank You for giving us the knowledge of You and who You are. And an understand that we are never without You. We are never without Your purpose and Your plans for us. Father, we just ask that even if You have to create a little extra time for us to come to You in a more deeper way, more intimate way, Father, that You do whatever is necessary, because that's really what's the most important thing is knowing You. We praise You. And we honor You. We glorify You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Hang on.
We
got one more thing. Everybody sit down. Hi. It's not about you. Okay. You can sit down too.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me see. I got good notes up here. Yeah. How many of you guys have seen Bob grow a ton?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited. Not that you were bad before, but you're really stepping up. So, I had one thing that really resonated with me that he said. I actually have a sheet on my desk at home. It says my roles and goals. And I've wrote down, it's actually 9 things where I find myself. Some of those places I'm a leader, some of those places I just find myself. And I've asked the Lord, what do You want to do? What do You want me to work on? How do You want me to grow for that thing? So that's a good way. I know He didn't print up a sheet, but ask the Lord those desires and those places you find yourself. All right. So these guys would love to share with us a verse that they memorized in the form of a song. And so we'd also like the adults to be encouraged to memorize things too. Deuteronomy 32:4. Is that what it was? All right.
Okay, ready?
Hit it.
He is the rock, his ways are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he.
So for, that was great. For those of you that want to go to Kids Church next week, you need background checks before you go to Kids Church next week. All right, so we do have that meeting today. Let's take about 10 minutes. If anybody needs prayer or anything, I'm available for 10 minutes.
And there's going to be donuts and bagels.
And there's going to be donuts if you come to the meeting. All right, have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm